Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I thought today we would be getting a slow start back into the work week after the Memorial Day holiday weekend. We had a best of show running Monday with some great content. Big thanks to our producer, Caden Bjornstedt, for editing that and putting that whole show together, whole four-hour show. So that took some work. So big thanks to Caden for doing all that work. Yeah, I was driving to the gym yesterday morning. I was like, oh, hey, I'm not hearing it for just a couple of minutes. I saw a cat out in eastern Montana was listening in very early in the 6 o'clock hour. And then as I was, I think I was going to the gym. I slept in a little bit for a Monday for me anyway, and was headed to the gym some point at 6 o'clock. I was like, hey, we got some audio issues there. So big thanks to Michael Foth, our director of content, for getting everything back up and running again, especially for our statewide hours of this show. I thought, we'll have a slow start here on this Tuesday, you know, maybe talk a little bit about some of the conversations we had on Friday, and then John Jackson will roll in around 8 o'clock, and then we'll really be fired up and ready to roll by then. But, man, do we have a lot to talk about here this morning, on this Monday morning. We've got a lot of news that we can talk to. There's no way we're going to cover it all. Let me start with, let's start with Karl Rove here. I know Karl Rove, he's kind of a, you know, you're like, man, come on, Karl. I know you were a Bush guy, but come on, man. Get with the program here. how much more evidence do you need to see of President Donald J. Trump before you finally just get on board with the program here? But nonetheless, he was on, I think, Fox News over the weekend talking about that one big, beautiful bill that we talked a lot about last week after it barely passed the U.S. House of Representatives, and so many good things in this bill. Now, the one thing that stood out to me with this Karl Rove conversation here is that it only passed by one vote. Now, we knew that, but think about it from this perspective. It only passed by one vote. And then listen to what Karl Rove says here.
Well, remember, it passed in the House for one reason. A Democrat congressman died on the eve of the vote, Jerry Connolly of Virginia. Otherwise, it would have been tied 215-215, and the bill would not have passed. So very complicated in the House. The Senate is going to not just simply follow the House. That never happens. They're going to come at this and make changes, and then we're going to see how the House and Senate come to a negotiated conclusion to all of this. We're doing this, on pretty fast terms. If you remember, in 2017, President Trump signed his tax bill, the predecessor to this big, beautiful bill, most of which the elements are being renewed in this bill. He signed it on December 22nd. And that was when the Republicans had a significant majority. I think it was nearly 40 members in the House. They have a much smaller majority this time around.
All right, so I talked about Speaker Mike Johnson's headaches. Senate Majority Leader John Thune's headaches are getting 51 yes votes. What about that process?
Well, and again, we're going to go through the same thing that the House did. That is to say, we're going to have the Senate Finance Committee, much like the House Ways and Means Committee, take a look at elements of the tax bill. We're going to have the Health Committee looking at Medicaid, like Energy and Commerce in the House look at it. So we've got weeks of work here, if not months of work here. The idea that this is somehow going to be done quickly and easily is simply not the way Washington works, certainly on as big and complex a bill as this is.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun today, we'll see a few afternoon showers and storms possible around the area. High temperature readings will range from the lower 70s in Bozeman to the upper 70s in Billings. Still could see a couple showers around early tonight, followed by low temperatures of 49 in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. They'll see some sunshine Wednesday and a slight chance for an afternoon shower. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
America's military leaders remembered the fallen who helped secure America during Memorial Day ceremonies at Arlington National Cemetery. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Kane.
It is our responsibility to carry that weight and to live in a way worthy of their sacrifice, and to never forget what they did for us.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said that the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is different than other military remembrances.
It's a uniquely American tradition that we honor anonymous sacrifice above worldly greatness.
The secretary adding,
we owe a duty to those who have fallen in war. They have paid a debt we can never repay. And for that, we owe gratitude and remembrance.
More than a million American service members have been killed while serving the country throughout America's history. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
Yeah, I want to talk more about this one big, beautiful bill. And especially, I want you to hear what former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, had to say over the weekend. That, the other thing you got to hear is what Stephen Miller, Deputy White House Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, what he had to say about this big, beautiful bill. And also clarifying what can and can't be done regarding spending in this big, beautiful bill as well. Because as always, you've got folks out there that are never going to be happy with anything. You're always going to see the virtue signaling. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? You think about that bill, and it's got so many things in it. Permanent tax relief. Big, beautiful deportations. I went through 20 different things last week on this show. I'm not going to go through all of those again, but think about it. One vote would have stopped that. If it wasn't for one Democrat member of Congress not being there for a sad reason, that would not have passed. So, and another way to look at it is if you had one or two virtue signaling House Republicans that just vote against everything, and there's never a perfect enough deal to where they can always, you know, get social media fame by just opposing everything, it would have all been blocked. It would have all been blocked because that needed to get done by Memorial Day weekend so that now the Senate can get their job done, hopefully by the 4th of July weekend. Which is only about a month or so away. Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, he's a guy who's actually reined in spending. He's a guy who actually balanced the budget. Not one of these virtue signalers out there that just likes to talk about doing it. He's a guy that's actually done it. And so that's why I think his comments on this were very spot on as well and important to hear. First, though, hey, if you guys missed it, Brett's RV and Marine, they had their big RV and boat show and sale in the Gallatin Valley in Bozeman over the weekend, I think kicking off Friday. If you missed it, hey, don't worry. You've got two great locations not too far from you. Brett's RV and Marine, of course, they've got their great location with that gigantic American flag in Lockwood, in Billings. They've got a great location in Missoula as well to hit our friends on the western side of the state. And then, you know, it's only about, what, a little over a year old. Our friend Brad, a great Air Force veteran, JTAC, Army Ranger qualified Air Force JTAC. He's running the show there at Brett's RV and Marine in Butte. They got a great location there right down the road. You know, not too far of a drive for the Billings location either. So there you are, smack dab in the middle. But man, what about that weather on Memorial Day weekend? You never know what you're going to get. Kind of like, you know, Memorial Day weekend weather is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. What a beautiful weekend it was. I'll bet some of you were sitting at home and you're like, man, I wish I had a boat. Man, I wish I had a camper right now. It's for the children, right? Well, go to Brett's RV and Marine. They've got the largest inventory of boats and campers, RVs, you name it, across a five-state region, family-owned, Montana-owned. Check it out, brettsrv.com. Okay, here's a former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. He was on Fox News with Kayleigh McEnany over the weekend talking about how important it was that Republicans in the House got their part of the job finished so that the Senate can now get the job done by the 4th of July as well.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune can only lose 3 votes. Ron Johnson is skeptical. You have Rand Paul, among others. Then the changes go back to the House, and they want to do it all before 4th of July. So what, in your estimation, is the path of the big, beautiful bill?
Well, look, the Senate has every right to develop its own version. The fact is, if you care about the American economy, if you care about the American people, then this bill's very, very important. It blocks a huge pay increase, a huge tax increase. It creates much better regulatory environment. It takes out a great deal of the waste in government. It's not perfect. Look, we balanced the budget for 4 straight years for the only time in the last century. We didn't do it overnight. We didn't do it the first or second year. You have to chip away at these things, get the best you can, plan to come back again next year, or come back this fall on the appropriations bills, but keep moving. The Senate, I think, has to pass this bill early enough to go to conference. There'll have to be a conference. You're not going to take either the House or the Senate bill by themselves. And then they've got to come out of conference, and I hope they'll schedule getting it out by the 4th of July. We are right at the edge of a Trump economic boom of historic proportions. You look at the amount of money he's getting, for example, from the Middle East, trillions of dollars in sales, trillions of dollars in investments. You look at how tough he is in protecting the American economy, the incentives he's building to build in America instead of importing from overseas. We're really at the edge of an extraordinary period of dramatic growth. But passing this bill is a major key to that. And I would simply say to all the senators, when you're done amending and you're done arguing, you have to vote yes, because to vote no is voting for a giant tax increase. It's voting to cripple the government. It's voting to make it very difficult for President Trump to create the kind of America that he was voted to create. And frankly, it goes against the wishes of virtually every Republican who put the senators in office.
All right. Yeah, that was a great, I tell you, that was only about 2 minutes. And that tells you, I think, almost everything you need to know about what needs to happen, not just over the next month, but what needs to happen over the next 6 months. Deliver this big, beautiful step forward. Now, I totally agree with Newt Gingrich right there. I think, you know, 1 year from now, a little over a year from now, man, you wait to see the effects of this, of President Trump, and there were some immediate effects, right? But you wait to see when these things really start kicking in and reining in this massive spending. And by the way, the spending fight, that's the fight, like he said there, with the appropriations bills heading into after the 4th of July, into the fall. That's the next focus on implementing further spending reductions, getting us towards a path of deficit reduction and much more. So, still got to get to Stephen Miller. So maybe we'll talk about that, plus Wyoming Senator John Barrasso.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You can't describe Montana's property tax in 60 seconds, but you can identify the root of its current problems. It's really just one thing, and that is the meteoric rise in the value of residential real estate. Before the year 2000, home price growth and income growth in Montana were evenly matched, which makes sense. But since that year, home prices have risen much faster, with periods of rocket fuel price growth happening at least twice, now and in the years before the Great Recession. The beauty of the property tax, its stability and predictability, has been ripped to shreds as a result. Those galloping prices have made the residential share of the property tax base grow to more than 75% of the total. 20 years ago, it was just over half. Is it any wonder that homeowners' share of the tax burden has grown as well? Either until we fix housing markets or find another tax, we can expect more of the same. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. During a week honoring police nationwide, House Democrats called on Republicans to install a memorial closer to home, a long-delayed plaque for officers who defended the Capitol during the riot on January 6, 2021. Lawmakers authorized the plaque as part of the fiscal 2022 omnibus spending law. It was supposed to be placed on the west front of the Capitol within a year of enactment. Quote, 791 days have passed and this Republican Congress has refused to comply with the law. It's time to honor those heroic officers. It's unconscionable. It's unpatriotic. It's unfathomable. It's unacceptable, and it's un-American, said House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Despite ignoring the deadline, the plaque itself is only occasionally mentioned by Democratic leaders. The plaque reads, quote, "On behalf of a grateful Congress, this plaque honors the extraordinary individuals who bravely protected and defended the symbol of democracy on January 6, 2021. Their heroism will never be forgotten." It then lists the names of law enforcement agencies involved in protecting Congress that day. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Montana. Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the Memorial Day weekend is considered the official start to the summer grilling season, and Rabobank has issued its yearly barbecue index, which determines the cost of a barbecue for 10 people. Now, the index shows that the cost of a Memorial Day meal for 10 is up 4.2% though compared to last year. Lance Zimmerman, the senior beef analyst for Rabobank, says one of the big surprises is the increase in the cost of chicken for the grill being larger than the beef increase.
It is. And I think a lot of that, ironically, is having to do with rebounding demand that we're seeing for chicken breast at food service right now. There's a massive focus on value, especially among quick service restaurant chains today. And as they look at trying to find ways to minimize cost, to minimize price pressure on consumers, food service is chasing white meat chicken breasts hard. And as a result, it's leaving retail grocery stores in a little bit of a scramble mode and causing them to increase prices there. So you're certainly right. We're seeing actually a little bit more food inflation year over year among the chicken category than we are within ground beef.
Now, that's not to say that beef prices aren't higher at the meat case as well, but even so, he expects beef to remain at the center of the plate this grilling season.
You know, one of the things that you and I have talked about often is that beef is kind of that celebration protein. It's that item that takes the center of the plate when we're celebrating birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, and just special occasions with friends, which is what grilling season is all about. And so when it comes to some of these cost pressures that are facing consumers today, whether you're a low-income earner or among the highest income earners in America, typically the cost to upgrade your food is one of the cheapest premiums that you can pay in terms of what you can get in return for that additional dollar.
Again, that's Lance Zimmerman with Rabobank. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Has your bank lost touch with your operation or doesn't seem well-versed in agriculture? Why not finance with people who understand your business? At Montana Livestock Ag Credit, we have a credit staff and a board of directors whose only business is agriculture. We've worked with our customers through the challenging times of dry weather and rising interest rates. Give me, Blake Hopman, a call at 1-800-332-3405 or visit us at ag-credit.com to learn more about who we are.
Is it time to trade in that old pickup for a new one? Well, Montana Farm Bureau members receive a $500 exclusive cash reward on the purchase or lease of an eligible new model year Ford Maverick, Ranger, F-150, Super Duty, or F-150 Lightning. To take advantage of the savings, members can print a special savings certificate at FordFarmBureauAdvantage.com or visit an authorized Ford dealer for qualifications and complete details. And be sure to check out the rest of our member benefits at MFPF.org. Well, legislation has been introduced to help ranchers recover after losing livestock to natural disasters. That's because Congressman Ronnie Jackson of Texas has introduced the Livestock Indemnity Program Enhancement Act. The legislation will help to provide desperately needed relief to livestock producers still reeling from catastrophic wildfires last year. More specifically, the bill addresses a gap, they say, in current disaster assistance by requesting that the Department of Agriculture establish additional payment rates for unborn livestock lost when gestating animals perish in natural disasters like wildfires. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great point here from Evan in Belt. This just came in on the Montana Talks app just a few minutes ago. He says this, Karl Rove is not being completely honest on the vote count. From what I heard, two of the Republicans had some issues. So for those maybe just joining us, I played audio of former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. I played that, yeah. But before that, I played Karl Rove, a Republican strategist, talking about how close the vote was in the U.S. House of Representatives that basically came down to one vote. President Trump's big priority, his big, beautiful bill, only one vote got it across the finish line. And Karl Rove said, well, there was a Democrat member of Congress who had passed away. So because he wasn't there, that's why this thing passed. Had he been there, the Democrats would have killed it by one vote. The Democrats and a tiny number of Republicans would have killed it by one vote. But anyway, Evan has a good reminder for us here as well about the two of the Republicans that had some issues. He says one apparently fell asleep and missed the vote completely, while another one voted but missed the vote tally by literally a second after Speaker Johnson threw the gavel down. Anyway, he said, we actually joked about this. So when we had George Blackert in for Freedom Friday this past Friday, we had Congressman Troy Downing dropped in and joined us in our studios as well. So that was fun having George mix it up with us and Congressman Troy Downing. We talked a lot about this, obviously, but we were joking. Yeah, the Daily Caller had a story where it was one of these New York Republicans that was pressing for the salt stuff. One of these New York Republicans, you know, they're doing these, you know, late night, early morning sessions. And so as Congressman Downing pointed out, a lot of the members of Congress, normally they might go back to their office and take a little nap or something like that. But they didn't have time to do that because you needed to be there to be on hand for votes. Well, so a lot of them would hang out, you know, right off the floor of the House. Some of them would be in the cloakroom and, you know, try to do a quick couple of minutes of shut eye. And that New York Republican did more than just a couple of minutes of shut-eye, and he totally missed the vote. So, yeah, Speaker Johnson actually talked about that during one of the press conferences and said, I literally could have strangled him. Joking, of course. But, Evan, thanks for that message. So Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, because now, the big, beautiful bill heads to the United States Senate, and I don't know. Ted Cruz thinks that actually they have a better shot in the Senate. It would actually be easier to do it in the Senate than it was in the House. But obviously there's a lot of challenges there. Here is Wyoming Senator John Barrasso. He was down at the NASCAR race over the weekend, and he joined Fox and Friends.
Well, I'd like to get it done as quickly as possible. Amen. So the American people can see the benefits. And we promised the American people, like, we want to get the country back on track. Here we are at the Indy 500. People understand what that means. We promised safety and prosperity. So that means stopping this $4 trillion tax increase, which would hit every working family in America. It means more money in people's pockets, more money to spend or to save or to buy groceries, all of those things. So those are the things that are critical.
All right, what are the sticking points? We'll get to that here in 60 seconds after this Fox News update. Stand by. The cocaine in the White House investigation. I was during the last break, I was trying to scroll through some of the Fox News radio headlines, but that's the one part of my show prep this morning I didn't get to yet. So I was trying to take advantage of the breaks to do it. But that was a story that caught my eye. So I'm glad that one played just now. All right. So Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, he was talking about, you know, how the Senate now needs to put the pedal to the metal to get this big, beautiful bill across the finish line by the 4th of July weekend. What are the sticking points right now? Here you go.
Well, there's always, we will get it done. I'm not going to go through each of the specific details, but we are all committed.
You want us to know how this sausage is made.
Right. It's not worth looking at. We know we've got to get this. We promised the president we will get it done. Everything.
All right, there he goes. So he didn't want to go into the sticking points. He didn't want to throw anybody under the bus. But, there we go. Okay, I want to get to another soundbite from Senator Barrasso because he had a great conversation talking about nuclear energy and just electricity in general. And they kind of joked around about, could you imagine the Indy 500 if they were forced to use electric vehicles? It would be a two-day race. And that's probably being... A little too liberal with it. It would probably be a week-long race if it was they were forcing the drivers to use EV cars. But anyway, one other thing to throw in here before I tell you about what Stephen Miller had to say about how, you know, spending reductions in the big, beautiful bill and more. But I mentioned how, look, this whole legislation got across the finish line by one vote. One vote. And, you know, imagine if, A, you didn't have as many Republicans in the House, or imagine if, you know, one seat or two seats was filled by some virtue-signaling Republican that just wanted to pretend to be holier than thou and never votes for anything. And then you can't get anything done because you can't rely on Republican votes to get anything done. And so instead, the Democrats just end up running the show, which is what we saw, you know, the past couple years in particular. That's why I find it very interesting that over the weekend, President Donald Trump announced a couple more congressional endorsements. You know, we're over a year out before the primary election here in Montana. But President Trump over the weekend, when it comes to the Eastern Congressional District here in Montana, endorsed Congressman Troy Downing. President Trump on True Social said Congressman Troy Downing is doing a truly fantastic job representing the incredible people of Montana's 2nd Congressional District. Troy bravely served our great country in the U.S. Air Force as a combat veteran, and in Congress, he is fighting tirelessly to support our farmers and ranchers, champion American energy dominance by helping to keep the price of gasoline, oil, and all forms of energy very low, cheap. Help secure our now very secure record-setting southern border, strengthen our military veterans, defend our always under siege Second Amendment, which has not been attacked, amended, or changed while I was president, and restore peace through strength. He says Troy Downing has my complete and total endorsement for re-election. He will never let you down. That was from President Trump over the weekend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here we go. Let's get into Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller, of course, has been with President Trump since day one. Those of you who got to see him, I think at the first ever Trump rally in Montana, Stephen Miller got on the stage. I think, and that was at the Metro, right, in Billings. I got to go to several of the Trump rallies, thankfully, over the years. But Stephen Miller got on the stage and just wowed the crowd by talking about immigration policy and so much more. But Stephen Miller said this. He jumped on X. Let's see, this would have been 2 days ago. He says, I've seen a few claims making the rounds on the big, beautiful bill that require correction. The first is that it doesn't, quote, codify the DOGE cuts. This is a little inside baseball here, folks, as we get into this. But I think it's an important point that needs to be made here. Because, look, we made the point last week. We made the point throughout these conversations that, hey, there are so many great things in this legislation here. So many great things that need to get across the finish line. And I think Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich is exactly right. You wait to see the full effect. They get this. They get these Trump tax cuts made permanent. They get some of these other things put into place here. Man, you think you're seeing effects of the Trump administration already in the first 100-plus days? You wait till 1 year from now to see everything that's going to be taking place with our economy and more. But the one thing we've all been saying is like, man, we need to get more spending reductions in here. I mean, Joe Biden and John Tester left a $2 trillion deficit for their predecessors on top of a $36 trillion debt. So the $36 trillion is what they acquired over all these years. The $2 trillion is just what they left in a deficit for 1 year. And so they've got to chop that apart, let alone, you know, figure out how to tackle $36 trillion in debt. And so you've got the perfectionists out there, the holier-than-thous, the people that get media attention like they never otherwise would if they weren't the one or two or three Republicans voting against the rest of their caucus. And so they get all this attention and they virtue signal, and some of them mean well, but it's like okay, if the House Republican caucus can never get your vote, then you're effectively meaningless there. And then they have to, and then we wonder why these things get watered down or less effective, because they have to go somewhere to get the votes, to get a deal. Look, this is the genius behind President Trump. He will fight But then he knows the art of the deal. He knows when you have to broker a deal and when you got to sign off on a deal. And some people just want a virtue signal by pretending to fight, but in reality, never really fighting for anything other than fighting to become a social media influencer or something like that. So here we go. Stephen Miller says this. He says, look, I've seen a few claims making the rounds on the big, beautiful bill that require correction. The first is that it doesn't, quote, codify the Doge cuts. So one of the criticisms, of course, is that people are saying, well, they need to take all the Doge spending cuts and they need to put that into this reconciliation bill. They need to codify it. Now, there are folks who are saying, yes, we need to codify the Doge cuts. But here's what he says about a reconciliation bill. A reconciliation bill, which is a budget bill that passes with 50 votes, is limited by Senate rules to mandatory spending only. For example, Medicaid, food stamps. The Senate rules prevent it from cutting discretionary spending, like the Department of Education or federal grants. The Doge cuts are overwhelmingly discretionary, not mandatory. The bill saves more than $1.6 trillion in mandatory spending, including the largest ever welfare reform. A remarkable achievement. Stephen Miller says, I've also seen claims that the bill increases the deficit. This lie is based on a CBO accounting gimmick. That's the Congressional Budget Office. Income tax rates from the 2017 tax cut are set to expire in September. They were always planned to be permanent. CBO says that maintaining current rates adds to the deficit, but by definition, leaving these income tax rates unchanged cannot add one penny to the deficit. The bill's spending cuts reduce the deficit against the current law baseline, which is the only correct baseline to use. Another fantastically false claim is that the bill spends trillions of dollars. This is just completely invented out of whole cloth. This is not a 10-year budget bill. It doesn't fund almost any operations of government, which are funded in the annual budget bills, which this is not. In other words, if this bill passed but the annual budget bill did not, there would be no government funding. Under the math that critics are using, if we passed a one-paragraph reconciliation bill that cut 50 billion in food stamp spending, they would say the bill added trillions in spending and debt because they are counting all the projected federal spending that exists entirely outside of the scope of this legislation, which is, of course, preposterous. The only funding in the bill is for the president's border and defense priorities. While enacting a net spending cut of over $1.6 trillion. Stephen Miller concludes by saying this, the bill has two fiscal components, a massive tax cut and a massive spending cut. And that's from the one and only Stephen Miller. And yet you've got, you know, one or two or a handful of Republicans, and we even see this in the Montana legislature where you get a handful of Republicans that will always try to undermine, their fellow Republicans and their caucus members to prop themselves up for attention. Now, some of these guys, like I think Chip Roy has really, you know, added some good things to the conversation, right? But then you got some of these guys that they will never sign off on a deal. They will never sign off on a deal. Let's see. Back to Wyoming Senator John Barrasso. He was talking about, you know, the big, beautiful bill moving forward in the United States Senate. Now that it's passed the House, they're trying to get the job done by the 4th of July weekend. He was on Fox and Friends Weekend Edition, and he was down at the Indy 500. I think they were broadcasting live from the Indy 500. And the topic of nuclear energy came up, which I find very interesting because I've been hearing a lot of chatter about Colstrip. Hey, maybe they'll reopen Colstrip 1 and 2. Maybe we can add nuclear, you know, small modular nuclear reactors to the energy hub, which is Colstrip. Here's Wyoming Senator John Barrasso talking nuclear and more.
You know, just last week we blocked the Democrats going out the door. They said no more gas-powered cars in America. Can you imagine? They wanted to, by law, force people into buying electric vehicles. We were able to stop all of that.
The 8,500 with EVs would not be the same.
Not a 10-second pit stop. No, you'd have to be a two-day race till they recharge the batteries.
Exactly.
You know, that's Senator, a great point.
You mentioned energy, and President Trump announcing that his administration will pursue
hot industry. It's a brilliant industry to do with nuclear
energy. Listen here. I think we have a soundbite of that.
Great point.
You mentioned energy, and President Trump announcing that his administration will pursue nuclear energy. Listen here. I think we have a soundbite of that.
We have a very big announcement today that has to do with nuclear energy and other things. And this is all nuclear. It's a hot industry. It's a brilliant industry. You have to do it right. And it's become very safe and environmental. We'll be second to none because we're starting very strong. It's time for nuclear, and we're going to do it very big.
Just your thoughts on that, Senator.
Well, number one, never again can we be dependent on Russia or China for nuclear material or anything related to energy. The president is absolutely right. We need to be uranium here, the next generation nuclear power plants here. We need all of the energy. I'm from Wyoming, the breadbasket of American energy. We're building that next generation of nuclear power plant. But additionally, in the fight for AI against China, you need massive amounts of energy. And the Biden administration really put our head in a noose the last 4 years by telling the EPA, prioritize climate over energy that's available, affordable, or reliable. President Trump is focusing on energy dominance.
All right. Yeah, well said there by Wyoming Senator John Barrasso. Okay, Monday was, of course, Memorial Day, and I shared some great highlights from President Trump. I think Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. And more if you go to x.com/Aaron Flint. But, you know, one person we haven't gotten a chance to hear much from with regard to, you know, public statements, public speeches, et cetera, is General Raisin Kane. General Raisin Kane. Are you guys familiar with him? So General Raisin Kane is the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And so I thought, what the heck? You know, why don't we share the full remarks, the Trump War Room, shared the full remarks of General Raisin Kane and his Memorial Day message from Monday. Let's round out the 6 o'clock hour with that, with General Raisin Kane. So we're going to do that here coming up right after this break, and then coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we got phone lines open and much more for you.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
In response to Israel, Iran's top diplomat warned the Iranian foreign minister on X, writing, "I have called on the international community to take effective preventive measures against the continuation of Israeli threats, which, if unchecked, will compel Iran to take special measures in defense of our nuclear facilities and materials. We are likewise of the firm conviction that in the event of any attack against the nuclear facilities of the Islamic Republic of Iran by the Zionist regime, the government of the United States shall bear legal responsibility, having been complicit there." You know what? Who gives a flying Adam Schiff what they think? Nobody cares.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Warning. The national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility. And tariffs could cause inflation to make a devastating comeback. Are you ready for what more 2025 could bring? Will you sit on the sidelines and wait? Or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Help secure your future today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun today, we'll see a few afternoon showers and storms possible around the area. High temperature readings will range from the lower 70s in Bozeman to the upper 70s in Billings. Still could see a couple showers around early tonight, followed by low temperatures of 49 in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. Then we'll see some sunshine Wednesday and a slight chance for an afternoon shower. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, if you guys missed it, we had George Blackard and Congressman Troy Downing join us for Freedom Friday, talking Memorial Day and more. And then Attorney General Austin Knutson joined us on the show. He talked about his trip to the southern border and his response to this Soros-style prosecutor in Bozeman standing in the way of ICE. That is a must-listen-to hour with AG Knutson. If you missed it, check it out. Download the Montana Talks app and you'll find it all there.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, here we go. President Trump in the Trump War Room sharing this video on X. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint to see the full message if you want to later. But here you go. Trump, Vance, Hegseth, and General Raisin Kane honor the fallen and the Gold Star families at Arlington National Cemetery on Monday. Here is, a big segment of General Raisin Kane's remarks.
Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, Secretary Hegseth, Department of Defense leaders, my fellow Joint Chiefs of Staff, distinguished guests, veterans, fellow Americans, and most importantly, Gold Star families, welcome. Welcome to this most hallowed ground on this most special day. We gather here today under thankfully non-rainy skies that stretch over a free nation, and among these beautiful white marble headstones in this special place that represents brave men and women who gave us the gift of a perfect example, the gift of selfless sacrifice for something greater than themselves. Since the founding of our great nation, over 1 million of our sons, daughters, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, brothers, and sisters have donned the cloth of our nation and never come home. Every one of them believed that defending our great nation when duty calls is a righteous and worthy cause, and they were right. It is. Their perfect example brings us back to places etched in our warfighter memories, places with names like Valley Forge, Gettysburg, Normandy, Incheon, Coast, and Fallujah. We're also reminded of the many places we've never heard of, on and under the sea, on land and in the air, where incredible acts of valor and sacrifice were followed by a knock on a door. It is in those families left to carry on whose loss forever lives on in their hearts and in their memories, but also in the sustaining pride of being an American Gold Star family that we find incredible courage and strength. Families with last names like Sather, Duthman, Gilbert, Brown, Barber, Henderson, Zembiak, Jones, Wheeler, Kent, and so many others, like Horton. It's in the lives of the fallen and their families that we're left by a standard to live by, a charge for us all to keep, a charge to carry the torch forward with duty, courage, and love of country. Their legacy is entrusted to us, the living. It is our responsibility to carry that weight and to live in a way worthy of their sacrifice and to never forget what they did for us. General George Patton once said it best on a day like today when he said, "We should thank God that some such men lived." I know I sure do. Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, Mr. Secretary, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on this Memorial Day to honor those we lost in the service of our nation and their families who carry on so bravely. May we never forget our fallen and their families, May we never forget our deployed forces and their families.
All right. That was a full message there from General Raising Kane. Great message there. By the way, if you missed it over the Memorial Day weekend, I took some time on Sunday and wrote up a couple of Memorial Day specific stories that I wanted to share for you. And you can find those on our Montana Talks website right now. One of them, you know, I was looking through some old photos and I came across this photo of a 92-year-old World War II veteran from Shoto, Montana. When we were on the Big Sky Honor flight to Washington, D.C. back in 2014. Incredible story, incredible photo. Check that out, MontanaTalks.com. Plus, remembering Lieutenant Josh Hyland.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
You can't describe Montana's property tax in 60 seconds, but you can identify the root of its current problems. It's really just one thing, and that is the meteoric rise in the value of residential real estate. Before the year 2000, home price growth and income growth in Montana were evenly matched, which made sense. But since that year, home prices have risen much faster, with periods of rocket fuel price growth happening at least twice, now and in the years before the Great Recession. The beauty of the property tax, its stability and predictability, has been ripped to shreds as a result. Those galloping prices have made the residential share of the property tax base grow to more than 75% of the total. 20 years ago, it was just over half. Is it any wonder that homeowners' share of the tax burden has grown as well? Either until we fix housing markets or find another tax, we can expect more of the same. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.